of you guys have enjoyed old school Sunday school sermons this month and this series. It started out with Pastor Meredith doing a big drama and you know, just interacting. And Pastor Ben, I think he dressed up like David and used a slingshot. No, I wish he would have dressed up like David and used a slingshot when he was talking about David and Goliath. Pastor Dylan talking about being donkey jacked. I don't know. Nobody but somebody from Durban or South Africa can do that. If I would have talked about it, it would not have hit quite as well. Pastor Dylan hit it out of the park with the story of the Good Samaritan. And we're going to continue this series. We have this week and next week. And we'll talk about what I'm going to talk about here in a minute. How many of you guys dream of the ultimate vacation? When you're driving down the road or you see the lottery numbers and think, man, if I won that, I have to play the lottery, but you know, I never have. But if I did and I won, the vacation I would take. You know what? The truth of the matter is, it's been really hot and humid here in Durban. I don't know if you realize that. And I do not like the humidity. I love summer. I love the beach. I love the ocean. I love all those things, but I do not like the humidity. I don't like sweating just sitting there. I don't know. Anybody else like that? Some of you are like, no, I love it. But you know, my wife, she's a beach person. If we go on vacation, she wants to go see an ocean somewhere. How many of you guys are ocean people? You know, we're spoiled here in Durban. We're at the ocean, and we can see mountains right behind us if you look the other direction. It's amazing to live here. How many of you people are mountain people? Are there any people that love to go to the mountain? How many of you guys like are bush people? You want to go out and go see animals and stuff like that? I love all those things. I can do any one of them. All right, so here's the deal. There's some people that do crazy things for their holidays, all right? How many, there's Denver in the back. Denver, he wants to travel and go climb mountains. I'm not talking about normal mountains. I'm talking about, he talks about going to Kilimanjaro and climb that one. He's like studying how he can climb the hardest mountains in the world. I'm thinking, what is wrong with you, Denver? Vacation is a time to relax and just chill, right? You know, I don't know if Ricard is here. Ricard, a couple years ago, he did this race called the Sani to Sea. Anybody know what the Sani to Sea is? It's a bicycle, mountain bike race where you start up in by the Sani Pass. You start in, I think, Overland or Overton. What's the name of that town? You start there, and you ride your bike all the way to the ocean. It's 270 kilometers, and it's done over 3 days. That is not a vacation. That does not sound fun. We met a guy in Namibia when we were there. His name's Benny. Benny also rides his mountain bike, but in Namibia, they have this thing called the Desert Dash. The Desert Dash is 370 kilometers from Windhoek to Swakopmund, and they do it within 24 hours. That's not a vacation. That does not sound fun in any type of whatever. So here's the thing. Today, you have 300,000 rands. Imagine with me. 300,000 rands, and you could go and do anything you want for vacation. You have 2 weeks, time off. You go spend it. How would you spend it? Tell the person beside you. You have to spend it. You can't save it. I'm going to buy a car. I'm buying a house. You got to spend this money. How do you do it? Lots of cool places. Lots of cool things to do, I'm sure. How many of you guys are going to the beach? Maybe not Durban Beach because you can't go in the water, but you're like going to Mauritius, staying over the, you know, those over bungalows that are floating on the water. Yeah? Any of those people? How many of you guys, you're doing a spa like every day? You're getting every treatment you can get. I'm for that as well. I'm going to Europe, to be honest with you. I'm going to like Barcelona and Madrid and Lisbon, Portugal, and I'm going to spend 2 weeks in Europe more than likely with my wife. And yeah, that's how I would spend it. I mean, so many cool things, so many cool places. I remember when I was a kid, I think I told you guys about this once, but we took a road trip from Washington, D.C., where we lived, to Oregon, Portland, where my grandmother lived, okay? And we took 2 weeks to do this trip, and we drove, though. Now, I was a kid. I was maybe 8, 9 years old, and that's about 4,500 kilometers, just so you know. So it's a long trip. But on the way, we didn't stay in hotels or anything like that. We were like camping in the Overland Park type areas and campsites. We were cooking our own food at the rest stops. We had a cooler box in our car and our van, and we would pull out sandwiches and stuff like that as we were driving. My dad had a big Stanley thermos that he would take with him, a flask that would have coffee in it so he could drive all day, those type of things. And we would stop at national parks along the way. We went to places like Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons, the St. Louis Arch. We saw things like the Devil's Tower and Little Bighorn. And one place I remember stopping and loved going to was in South Dakota. Now, South Dakota, not everybody in the U.S. has been there, and there's one area of South Dakota called the Black Hills. And the Black Hills are famous for a couple things. Number one, gold mining, and number two, this place called Mount Rushmore. So as a kid, we stopped and we went to Mount Rushmore, and this is my family at Mount Rushmore. I know it's a horrible picture, but this is 1986, and we don't have the technology like we have today. But Mount Rushmore is about 18 meters tall. The statue, the four heads of the presidents that they carved, it took almost 14 years to complete, a little over 14 years. And the guy that designed it and was over it actually died before they completed it. He didn't even see it finished. But Mount Rushmore isn't the place that was most impactful for me on this trip. It's this place in Wall, South Dakota. It's called Wall Drug Store. It's full of roadside attractions like this 30-meter tall jackalope and dinosaurs that were 15-meter tall. Some of them were some of the best food I'd ever eaten in my entire life at this point was in Wall, South Dakota. I was loved every minute of it. There's like stores with candy and sweets in it and sodas and things like that. I couldn't wait to go back. It was my dream. My memory was so strong. Every summer, my parents are like, what do you guys want to do for vacation? Let's go to Wall, South Dakota, Mom and Dad. I want to go back to Wall, South Dakota. They never did. We never went back. And it stayed an amazing, wonderful place in my mind. I would dream of this jackalope that was 50 meters tall. It was amazing. Memories. Then as a youth pastor, we took our students to an Indian reservation in South Dakota to work called Rosebud. And to serve and those type of things. I was going back to the Black Hills. I was so excited. And Alicia was going with me. So I was talking about Mount Rushmore. I was talking about all these things and about Wall Drug and how I couldn't wait to go back. I told everybody how amazing it was, how there was this jackalope that was 100 meters tall. It was amazing. I was going back, and they would love it all along the way. Now, here's the thing. Wall, South Dakota, and Wall Drug, they advertised by these billboards along the side of the road. And as you're driving, I mean, I'm talking about like 500 kilometers away, they have billboards up for Wall, South Dakota, and Wall Drug, and it looked like this. And so every 20 kilometers, you're seeing these billboards, and I'm like, man, I'm telling them these stories about this jackalope that's at least 150 meters tall. It's amazing. And I was telling them about the food and about everything, how 75 kilometers away, you know, the free ice water, 60, 50, 20, 10, 5 kilometers, all these road signs. I couldn't help but tell them about it, building this place up. But then we got to Wall Drug. And the truth of the matter is that jackalope wasn't 150 meters tall. It might have been 3 meters tall. But I took a picture with it because why not? This is what a jackalope looks like. If you were wondering, I know most of you don't know what a jackalope is, but now you do. I realized when I took my students there why my parents didn't ever want to go back. Because honestly, it wasn't that great. The streets were hard to get around. The food was horrible. The people were a bit weird. And the statues weren't nearly what I thought they were. But I took a picture with the jackalope. Alicia took a picture with the dinosaur. You You see, I remembered the Black Hills differently from what it actually was. I wanted to go back to a place that didn't exist. And I don't know where you are in life, but the last few weeks we've studied the classic stories. And I was trying to figure out what could we study on Mother's Day? Because typically what happens Mother's Day, we talk about how great moms are, and they are. Father's Day, we talk about how bad dads are. It's the truth. So I was looking for the perfect mother in the Bible, and the truth of the matter is, in the Bible, there's a lot of horrible mothers. Think about Abraham and Sarah. Sarah doubted God. Isaac and Rebekah, she taught her sons how to lie, played favorites with her kids to where he would trick his father. Adam and Eve, we're not touching Eve this morning. I was struggling. You think about the queens in the Old Testament? Jezebel, we don't want to talk about her. And if you have your activity sheet that we passed out a minute ago, I hope you can figure out who we're talking about. We're talking about Lot's wife today. I figured, what a better mom than Lot's wife we know nothing about, not even her name. In fact, it's a family of no names. The only name we know about this family is Lot. But yet, it has some lessons that we can learn from today. In fact, usually we try to learn from the Bible what we should do, right? We read the Bible, God, what should I be doing? This is a story that teaches us what we should not be doing. You see, Lot's family was so messed up, his wife and his kids, scriptures don't even record their names. What we do know is that Lot's uncle was Abraham, and God promised to make Abraham's family a great nation, which would have included Lot. While Lot was with Abraham, he was a blessed. But eventually, Lot and Abraham separated. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 12, it says, Abram, lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. You see, Sodom was an evil city. From the moment Lot went to Sodom, things started to go wrong, very wrong. Lot left Abraham, the man God blessed, to live with the wicked, and as a result, he almost died multiple times. It's an important truth we have to realize today. When you remove yourself from God's blessings, expect bad things to happen. You see, Lot was in the wrong place with the wrong people. No wonder he almost died. You can't expect God to bless you when you're choosing to hang out with the wrong people. The Bible and your mama was right. Bad company corrupts good character. Or show me your friends and I'll show you your future. If you work in a corrupt business, expect trouble, you guys. If you hang out with the wrong people who talk about others, that's called gossip. Don't be surprised when they talk about you and tell lies about you. If you marry someone who doesn't value church, good luck getting them to come to church after you get married. If you listen to hateful people online, watch out when hate starts coming out of your mouth. The inverse is also true. If you want your life marked by God's presence and his blessing, make sure you hang around people and places where God is blessing. Come to young adults on Wednesday nights. Come to youth on Friday nights. Make sure you're in church. Expect bad things to happen when you remove yourself from God's blessing. Lot left Abraham for Sodom, and right after that, war broke out. Sodom was defeated, and Lot was captured. Abraham had to go rescue him. After that, you would think that Lot would say, "Thanks, Abraham. I appreciate it. I'm never going back to Sodom. That was a dumb idea." But that's not what happened. He went back and lived back in Sodom. Lot's family continued to go downhill. Before the story ends, his son-in-laws were dead. Lot's daughters committed unspeakable sins, and his wife died a foolish, tragic death. The lesson from Lot's wife was so important, Jesus himself in Luke chapter 17, verse 32, Jesus said this, remember Lot's wife. It was a warning. It was to tell you, don't be like Lot's wife. Don't forget what she did, and don't do it yourself. So what did she do that was so bad that Jesus warned us about her? The whole story is in Genesis chapter 18 and 19. You see, Lot went back to Sodom, and then the Lord appeared to Abraham in verse 20 of chapter 18. The Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grievous that I will go down and I will see what they have done. Is it as bad as the outcry that has reached me? If not, I will know. You see, Sodom was so evil, God wanted to destroy it. Knowing that Lot, his nephew, was there, Abraham pleaded for God to save them, and God agreed. He sent two angels who went to warn Lot in verse 12 of chapter 19. The two men asked Lot, do you have anybody else here, sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belong to you? Get them out of here because we're going to destroy this place. Time was running out for Lot's family. 15 and 16, with the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. Destruction was coming. Something bad was going to happen. But what happens in the story fascinates me. In verse 16, when he, that's Lot, hesitated. Are you kidding me? Lot hesitated. They're telling him, we're going to destroy this city, and yet he hesitated. He was like, maybe we shouldn't go. Destruction, salvation, I don't know which one. Lot kept making foolish decisions. Rather than running, he paused. When he hesitated, the men grabbed his hand in the hands of his wife and his daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. North Place, the angels, they were done talking. They grabbed the family. They dragged them out of the city. They did it because the Lord was merciful to them. The Lord was merciful. You see, mercy is when God doesn't give you what you deserve. That's what mercy is. You see, we're here today because of the mercies of God. You see, mercy shows God's compassion and love. You are guilty, Jesus says, not guilty. You are at fault, and Jesus says, I'll take the punishment. Mercy isn't earned, it isn't deserved, it shouldn't be expected. But God, rich in his love and mercy, shows up, drags us to safety. In this case, in this Bible story, it was getting them out of harm and destruction. That's what mercy is. Some of us, our stories where we talk about the mercy of God. You might look around in this room and say, man, these people seem so perfect. Their fit is just right. Did I use that one right, Emma? I don't know where she's at. I hope so. They have everything going for them. It's what you think. And you know what? You're wrong. We're only here because of God's mercy. We didn't deserve it, but mercy saved us. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. Aren't you glad God grabbed you and pulled you through when you hesitated? He's a merciful God who loves to rescue his people. I thank God for his mercy. After the angels got Lot's family, they gave the family specific instructions in verse 17. As soon as they'd been brought out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Don't look back. Don't stop anywhere in the plains. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. Run for your lives. Don't look back. Don't stop anywhere. Run for the hills. How hard is that to follow? That's an easy task. Just get out of here and keep going. very clear instructions. They weren't difficult to understand. So what did Lot do? But Lot said to them, "No, my lords. Look, here is a town not near enough to run. It is small. Let me flee to it. It's very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." He's arguing with these angels. Lot hesitated. Now he argued and negotiated. Are you kidding me? Surprisingly, for whatever reason, the angel said, okay. I don't know why. I think they were probably tired of Lot. They were done. Like sometimes we are of our children. Let them go now. Done with Lot. They let him go now to the town called Zoar. Genesis 19:23. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities and all the vegetation in the land. Fire destroyed everything. And now we get to Lot's wife, the woman with no name but a terrible legacy. In verse 26, but Lot's wife looked back, and then she became a pillar of salt. I thought about on the activity sheet, I was trying to figure out how we could do an activity today in church, because this is old school Sunday school, and that's what you do, right? You do crafts and things like that, especially on Mother's Day. You do, at least do cards for your mom, right? But so what I want you to do on the one side is notes, so make sure you're filling those out if you're a note taker. If you're not, fill it out anyhow, make me feel good. On the other side is an activity, and what I want you to do is if you're a mom, do it with your kids today. All right, it's nothing hard. I thought about getting a little packets of salt and stapling it to it just so you would have it so you can't have an excuse. But take some glue, do the activity with your kid, talk about this lesson with your children today and pass it on to the generations behind you. But in verse 26, she looked back and became a pillar of salt. Lot's wife looked back and she died. One verse, one mistake, one tragic consequence. But yet one important lesson. At first, this might seem harsh. We just talked about the mercy of God, and here she made one mistake and she messed up, and God killed her. All she did was look back. Would God punish a person for such a small mistake? But her look back wasn't some mere glance. It's not like she was, hey, what's going on back there? I believe she turned and she looked back at Sodom. And this was the exact opposite thing of what God had told them to do. She turned around, and we discovered while she was not physically in Sodom, she never really left. Her focus shifted from following the Lord's instructions to looking back. You see, when you look back, you start going back. And she was pulled back to Sodom. You see, Jesus later on in the Gospels, he said, any man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back isn't fit for the kingdom of God. Because we're distracted. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And the pull to go back can be strong. Sometimes so strong we forget why we left in the first place. You begin to miss whatever wasn't even there. Kind of like me in the Black Hills. You see, I hate watching people turn back from their relationship with Jesus. They come to church, they're growing, they're doing their daily 20, they're involved, and then the next thing you know, they start missing. Stuff starts coming up, and the church isn't quite as important to them as what it used to be. Those of you guys that don't know my family, we were part of North Place when it first started back in 2017. We were there in the Bible studies. In fact, I was at the very first Bible study for North Place at Pastor Randy. I had meetings in Johannesburg. They were doing the North Place first Bible study. I flew down from Johannesburg for that meeting, and I flew back the next day. And it grew, and we could look around this room, and again, we left in 2021 to go home to the U.S. for what we call furlough as a missionary or itineration. And it's not a vacation. It's not the vacation I told you about that I would go do with my family. It's a lot of work, but we went back. And when we came back, when our time was over last August, it's amazing when I looked around, obviously a lot of new people, people I don't even know their names or I don't remember your names, I'm sorry. But then a lot of people that were here when we left and aren't here any longer. People that I remember meeting with for coffee and discipling and talking to them about their faith. My heart breaks because I have no idea where those people are. I don't know what their walk with God is like any longer. And it breaks my heart because I know it breaks the heart of God. One day, their growing relationship stopped. It all changed. Their past was no longer their past, but it was their present again. They reconnected with old friends and influences. Maybe the family pressure about doing what you should be doing became too strong, so they walked away from church and their faith, and they went back to their other faith, whether it's Hinduism, or maybe it was Islam, or maybe it was some type of animistic and ancestry worship. I don't. It's devastating when people who look back and then go back. It rips me up. Why did Lot's wife look back? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. It just tells us it happened. There could be a lot of reasons. Maybe she saw the mountains in front of her and thought, man, those look too big. I can't keep going. I'm not Denver. I don't want to climb a mountain. Maybe she didn't want to leave to begin with. After all, the angels had to drag her and her family out of Sodom. It's the same today. There are many reasons why people stop moving forward with Jesus. You see, you look back when you think you know better. Man, I know better than God. Maybe Lot's wife thought, what's wrong with looking back? I mean, I'm just looking. It's not that big of a deal. When people think they know better than God, they make excuses for their behavior. They rationalize a disobedience. And maybe you have, I have. There's times that I've done it. It's our culture, I have to do it. Besides, it's the only way to get anything done. I'm only human, I deserve to be happy. It's my life, I can do what I want. It's just one weekend, right? Everybody gets a break from church. You don't know how expensive it is to get married. You see, when I turned 20, I bought my first car. Now, I had a car before this, but it was a car my parents bought me. And it was not a cool car. It was a 1994 Hyundai Excel, a little hatchback. And a little four-speed. I actually got that thing over 100 miles an hour once. I don't know how it made it, but it did. But I bought my first car, and it was a 1994 Toyota Baki. It was a five-speed. I was so excited. I had my own car. It was my first cool car. It had mud tires on it. Now, I lived in the city, and I didn't know if I was ever going to go mudding, but it was my truck, and I was so excited to have this pickup truck. In fact, this might have even been the day I bought it. You see, I'd learned to drive in my dad's old minivan, that same one we used to drive across the country. That's the first car I drove. In fact, the first time I ever drove it, I backed over our mailbox, but that's another story for another day. It was the ugliest thing. It was yellow. It looked like a banana. And this truck was cool. It had big wheels. It was jacked up. And I lived in the city, but I put a CD player and a sound system in it. One night, I wanted to go over and see Alicia. And the problem was it had been sleeting. Now, I know we don't know what sleet is here in Durban because we have really nice weather most of the time. But sleet is kind of this, it's not quite snow and it's not rain. It's when the rain starts freezing and it makes the roads horrible. In Texas, Oklahoma, in that area, it happens every year. And what happens is it forms this sheet of ice on the road, especially bridges and overpasses. So if you're driving in America, you'll see signs all over this place, this part of America, and says, the bridge will ice before the roads do. because it's a warning you, telling you, be careful if it's raining and it's cold and those type of things. So I wanted to go over. It had been sleeting, and my dad said, be careful, Adam. It's raining. The roads aren't what you're used to driving on. I'm like, Dad, I'm 20. I know exactly what I've been doing. I've been driving for 5 years now. What can go wrong, right? I know what I'm doing, Dad. I assured him I was fine and I could handle it. It took all of 2 kilometers before I drove onto a patch of ice, spun my truck up into a ditch. Why? Because I didn't really know what I was doing. I had driven, I had some experience, but I'd never driven on ice before. And what happens is if you're not careful, and if you try to accelerate when you're on ice, your tires spin, and you end up spinning out, and that's what happened to me. I hit the gas too hard, spun out, ran into the little divider, and then into a ditch. My dad was right, I was wrong. Shocker, he knew more than me. I didn't listen, and I ended up in a ditch. You see, when you think you know more than your Heavenly Father, watch out, or your life will end up in the ditch. God is warning you for a reason. His instructions are to help you. He wants you what's best for you. Listen to what God is saying and obey Him. When you think you know more than Him, He does. More than He does, guess what? You are wrong. You look back when you forget how bad it actually was. That's when we look back. We forget how bad it actually was, how bad our life was. We think of the good old days. Nostalgia, that's a powerful force. I don't know how many of you, I'm at that age, I guess, now. I'm 45. I think of the good old days, back when I didn't have to have a cell phone with me all the time for people to get a hold of me. We had phones mounted on walls, and if you weren't home, you missed the call, and it was okay. We didn't have social media. I couldn't be tracked by my mom, who, even though I'm 45, still somehow keeps track of me. And I love her. My mom's great. She really is, but she does. She also stalks me on social media. She's going to see this, but and then she stalks my friends on social media too, if that wasn't enough. And all moms do that. I do it to my kids' friends, so, and I'm not a mom, but I'm a dad. The good old days are sometimes were just the old days, though. And it wasn't as good as we remember. It's funny when we think about those days, though, and talk about those days. Back in my day, this is what we did. Back in my day, kids, we walked to school uphill both ways. I don't know how it happened. Back in my day, kids, I had to ride a school bus to school. I didn't get dropped off by my parents. Back in my day, I rode my bicycle across town to go to school. Back in my day, we remember it when it wrongly. You see, temptation, it distorts our memory. You forget what it was really like. And then you repeat the mistakes. You broke up with a guy who was cruel and abusive, but now you wonder maybe if it wasn't all that bad. And you're thinking about texting him again. It's been years since you smoked pot. The last time it messed you so much, you almost lost your job. Now maybe you're thinking you can handle it. Your old friends, they treated you like trash. They talked about you and they took advantage of you. This week they invited you to hang out, and you're so lonely you just might do it. Don't let your mind and your emotions play tricks on you. God set you free from addiction. Don't look back. Don't go back. God set you free from a broken and abusive relationship. Don't look back. Don't go back. God saved you from sin and death. Don't look back. Don't go back. Listen to Jesus' warning. Remember Lot's wife. Learn from her and her family's mistakes. What should you remember from Lot's family? Their story illustrates a pattern of failure. Learn from that pattern today. First, don't walk away from God's blessings. It started when Lot chose Sodom over Abraham. He went towards the evil and away from God's blessing. It's time to get back to the place of God's blessing in your life. Get back to where he is. Second, don't hesitate when God tells you to do something. When God came to rescue Lot, he and his wife hesitated. When God says go, go immediately. Do what he said. Whatever that is. For some of you, it might be going on a mission trip to Swaziland this June. I don't know. Third, don't argue when God tells you to do something. Don't debate, don't rationalize, or try to get what you want from God. And finally today, remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. See, Lot's wife, what a tragic story. Sodom, evil, had a strong hold on her. She wouldn't let go of her past. No wonder Jesus told us not to forget about her. You understand, you have not been able to walk away from your past either. No matter how many times the Lord tells you to leave, you keep going back. You keep going back, and it actually frustrates you. You know you shouldn't, but you don't want to let go. In Luke 17, Jesus warns us, don't be like Lot's wife. Don't hold on to the life you had. Don't look back. Don't go back. If you want to experience the life God wants for you, you can't keep dragging your past into your present. It's time for some relationships to end. It's time for some cell phone numbers to be deleted from your phone. It's time for some apps to be taken off your phone. It's time for you to block some websites or some phone numbers on your phone. It's time for the alcohol to be poured out. It's time for stuff to be flushed. It's time to ignore those calls. Not to return some emails, delete some social media accounts, destroy some of the drugs. It's time for you to maybe change jobs. But you say, Adam, you don't know what the job market's like. You're right, I don't. For Lot's wife, it was Sodom. What is it for you? This morning, what is God telling you to get rid of? Growing up where I lived in Illinois, we had a burn barrel. It was an old, rusted-out drum, metal drum that we'd put our trash in and burn it, things we wanted to get rid of. We set it on fire, and it was gone. Over the years, we put a lot of trash in that burn barrel and set it on fire. Church, it's time for some of you guys to put your past in the burn barrel and to let it on fire and not go back. Just completely destroy it. Don't hesitate. Don't argue with God this morning. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. You see, your memory is as bad as mine. I remember the Black Hills as some amazing place that wasn't really there. What about you? What are you focused on in your past that you need to let go of this morning? That keeps drawing you. You think you can handle it. The truth is you can't. What is it? Let's learn from Lot's wife today, the story. Let it go.